Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 Podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how fantastic Mercedes Sprinter vans are, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is Tyler, and joining me in the studio today is two lovely fellas, and we will get to them in a little bit here. But first, before we do, I just got to say thank you. We all say thank you because that's what this is all about, is you guys, everybody out there, the listeners, everybody listening to us, everybody interacting with us on Instagram, on email, calling in and leaving messages. You know, it's a lot of fun doing this podcast and getting to see people out on the trails and get to know you guys as well. So thank you for listening and following along with the podcast. Today, we have an awesome interview lined up with Dimitri from Stellar Built. Now, last time we talked to Dimitri was quite a while ago, and he still had his old shop. We were in the old studio, and there's been a lot of changes since the last time we got to sit down and chat with him. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It was it's kind of an update on the big things happening over at Stellar Built and what they're up to and some of the new projects they're working on, some of the new projects they're undertaking. And he even brought a surprise gift to the studio for the patrons. So without further ado, let's get right on over to today's interview with Dimitri. Grab your favorite drinks, grab some popcorn, because you're not going to want to miss this one. Welcome back, ladies and germs, everybody out there. We are here in the studio with the one and only Mr. Stellar Built himself, Dimitri. Dimitri, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime, man. It's been a while since we've had you in the studio, and I don't think we've had you in this studio yet.
No, this is great. I like the setup. This is definitely a step forward. Nice.
Did you get to any of the liquid encouragement before we started recording?
No. I'm still on the clock. So, you know, I just took off after lunch. So
hold on. Your boss lets you come over and record podcasts while you're working.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. I mean, today is Tuesday. So we're shop is open. It's full swing. So yeah, we still got 5 hours to go.
Yeah, you guys are. We're going to be talking about your new shop here in a little bit. How's things been going, man? You guys obviously, I don't, maybe not so obviously if people don't follow along with your Instagram, but if they are following your Instagram, you guys are doing some pretty cool, pretty big stuff here over at Stellar Built now.
Yeah, I mean, this year's been kind of hectic. So I guess the big news is that we moved into a new space. We've been looking for a new shop for over a year now, and finally found a new space, just a different part of town, just all new. So we just moved. So that's been crazy. Last month in particular has just been wild, like trying to manage the setting up the new shop and dealing with like construction and contractors and obviously running the shop. So you know, customer work and all that. So, but
did you guys shut down the customer work at all, or have you been still cranking out vehicles and cars while you're in this whole transition?
Yeah. So we have been working. Like we did shut down for 1 week, but that's strictly for physically moving stuff from one shop to another. But we've had the new space since early May. Okay. So, and we just moved 2 weeks ago, which is, it's October. So first week of October we moved. So, you know, we had the space for, you know, 3-4 months now, but during this time, it's just been mostly just kind of renovation, because it used to be like a just a warehouse, so like, you know, used for a variety of, there was a fabrication shop before us, but you know, none of their, you know, equipment or power or anything that was left. So and there's our new space is essentially three warehouses that are now all connected together.
Yeah.
They used to be separated, now they're all, you know, it's a one big free-flowing space. So, and there used to be three individual different businesses in there. So
okay.
When we got the keys, we were just doing all the renovating to make it work for us.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, putting in lifts, power. Power is a big thing for our shop.
With welding. Imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, like running our plasma cutters and CNC and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, power has been definitely something that took the most time. Which is a matter of fact, we're still finishing up in the third of the third warehouse doing power on it.
Wow. So yeah. you guys went from, we were talking about this earlier. You went from about 5,000 square feet to 18,000 square feet now. So you pretty much tripled your space.
Correct. Yeah. We're 5,000 feet, which that included shop space, included bathrooms, it included our office and break rooms and just interior space. So now we're 18,000 feet. So out of which about 1,000 is just kind of like office and showroom area, and the rest is just all shop. So, you know, we got a lot of room to play with. So, and the way we have it set up, which is kind of, I guess, a little bit unique for our business. So we have, like I said, we have three different buildings that we made into kind of one big space, but it's still somewhat divided. So one warehouse is strictly for like storage and parking, like inventory and stuff. They have our center warehouse, which is something that you know most people are more familiar with, it, which is, you know, our shop. So we have our racks, our alignment, everything, kind of all our service stuff, all our tooling, everything's in there. So,
okay.
And the third one, that's kind of what I'm mostly excited about, is our fab shop. So that's what the new space allowed us to do, is to separate different kind of work, because everything was at the same place. And
it was very impressive to see all the stuff you guys were doing in that 5,000 square foot place, your old place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot. Like, we definitely grew out of it. You know, we did all this like general, like lift kits, and then we're doing like hardcore fabrication. And then we have our alignment machine, which is like a precision piece of equipment that was kind of near the same area, you know? Mm-hmm. So now everything's kind of has its own space, but particularly the fab shop has its own lifts, its own, you know, wall blocked off, you know, we have its own power, and we actually have two lifts dedicated strictly for fabric. So more for like long-term kind of projects. So
like full-on builds.
Okay. And that's something that's kind of the new wave of this of Stellar Build, is that we can take in that kind of work, where before we were kind of like, we'll do a little bit, you know, we did some fabrication, but we kind of slowed down, just because we didn't really have space. So but now, like, we don't have that bottleneck anymore. It's a big shop dedicated strictly for fab. So, you know, we're taking in more of a hardcore project. So, yeah.
You said that you grew out of it, of your old shop. But what I find kind of funny is, I don't think you're in there for very long, right? I mean, well, it was a matter of two and a half years. The shop you went from before was half the size. It was like 2,000 square feet.
Yeah, so 2,500 feet. Then it went to 5,400 feet. Then it went to, then we also, for just maybe like a 6 period of time, we rented a shop next door to us, which is another 5,000 feet. But we literally didn't even pay our light bill in there, just because it was, we didn't use it, just because it was just strictly
storage.
Storage, yeah. Yeah. So, and that's pretty much it, you know. And after that, we went to the new space. So
in 2.5 years, do you foresee yourself moving again?
Oh no! I don't want to move. This was brutal, man. This move is like just kind of drain everything out of me. Once we get settled in, I'm taking a nice vacation, taking a break. So, yeah, I don't want to move for a while. Like, I think this, we're here to stay for a while in this new shop. So
yeah, definitely. And it's a massive shop, and I've had the privilege. I can't say the word.
The pleasure.
I've had the honor of walking around in it with you, and being, you know, getting the guided tours. And what was funny is, when I was there, you were like cutting the holes in the walls to make through, so you could go from one of the buildings to the other building.
Yeah. We literally just cut a hole in the wall, like there's a big, huge opening. So we have, so like a truck, you know, a forklift with like material, whatever, that can pass through without clipping anything. So
it was kind of fun watching you scoot around the building. buildings delivering stuff between the three buildings on your electric scooter.
we have a scooter, like one of those kind of scooters you see like in downtown. Mm-hmm. We have one of those scooters just to zip around the shop, because like if you go from one space to another, if you need to be there like instantly, like we just get in the scooter and do our thing. So yeah, it's fun.
Does the city charge for that?
We have a permanent solution.
He's renting a bird every time he goes
to carrier pigeons.
Our bill is huge for bird. But it's nice because it's all just warehouse space, so it's like mm-hmm. you just kind of cruise through from one shop to another.
Yeah, it's gonna be neat because the new place is like literally 5 minutes from my house. So on days when I've got like extra time to spare, I'm going to end up coming down and just showing up randomly at the warehouse.
Matter of fact, to get to this place, it took me faster to get to the studio than to my own house.
Oh yeah.
It was that close. So
yeah, you need to be careful when you invite Tyler down to the shop, because he's going to soon try to figure out which lift is free and when he can put his 4Runner up on it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I need to borrow this for a couple hours. Get things in.
I'm going to just do a 3-link real quick.
Yeah. While I'm in there, I'll just do it. Yeah.
Now, it's going to be really fun. One thing that I'm really excited about is what you already alluded to, is that you're going to be able to kind of get back into full-on fabrication.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that, like, I was kind of sad to see go out of your mainstream work was you have some amazing fabrication skills.
And yeah, some
of the guys that work for you have amazing fabrication skills. But you guys have so much business that you're just like pumping through alignments and pumping through lifts and suspension redos and stuff like that. So I'm like seeing you guys be able to come back and start doing more of those full on builds, like finish up the Moscow Mule and do more stuff like that. I'm really excited to see what you guys can pump out of there with that on that end.
Yeah, we already have a couple of cool projects already lined up. But I mean, just like as we speak, we have a Land Cruiser 200 series that we're doing. It's a shop build. But it's pretty intense. I mean, it's first of its kind. We're doing like the rear suspension is all custom. The front suspension, it's kind of like a hybrid of custom and, you know, parts from vehicles that are not Land Cruisers. So, but yeah, it's coming together really nice. Like the cruise that we're working on, we're converting to the shocks to the outside the frame, which is
outboarding. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is like on Land Cruisers in particular, most Land Cruisers, I want to say up until the new 300 series, the shocks have been mounted on the inside of the frame at like a really hefty angle. So
okay.
The motion ratio wasn't the best. So right now we have it traditionally mounted as if you would see like on a Tacoma or a Foreigner, the shock is mm-hmm. outside the frame. So now while we're doing that, we're obviously putting just big Kings, extended travel, piggyback. I mean, it's nice. It's a really nice set of bump stops. So, you know, if you guys follow us on Instagram, you'll see it. It's a lot going on in the back. So
I did see you guys get a big shipment of Kings recently, and I was like, so that's where all the King shocks are in the country.
Yeah, it's crazy right now. It's so difficult to get Kings. Like right? The stuff that comes in now, like we probably ordered, I want to say maybe December, January. Mm-hmm. So right now, any King orders that we're processing now, delivery is for May 2022. So if you want to get Kings on your car, on your truck, you're gonna have to wait. So,
jeez.
And there's no like there's no way really around that. I mean, unless somebody mm-hmm. like another like a distribution house buys a lot of them, maybe somebody will have it in stock. But that stuff goes so quick that, you know, you just have to order. It's all built to order. They can barely keep up with their demand. And I heard that they have like three different shifts going, so it's like
wow,
they're really really busy.
Wow, so, that's
lucky,
crazy.
Lucky them.
Yeah, I know, right? That's a good problem.
I will say this: is kind of a big up for Kings. Is that out of everybody in the industry, all the vendors, with the whole COVID issues, you know, supply chain issues, mm-hmm. that is one company that has not raised its prices. Their prices remain the same.
Okay.
Their lead times got extended, but the King shocks are still the same price as they were, you know, like a year ago, which is
surprising. That's awesome. That's super surprising. Everything's shooting up right now.
Yeah.
Wow. So let's, I want to talk a little bit about this Land Cruiser 200 series you're working on. What are you doing for the rear suspension that's so custom about it?
Okay. So on the rear links, there's not really a lot of options when it comes to links. So we kind of made a, we're a vendor for Dobbinson's. Dobbinson's is one of our bigger accounts. We love their suspension, love the quality of their stuff. So we made, we kind of have to come up with a solution on running extended links. I mean, we can make our own, but we do want to rep the companies that we work with. So with some trial and error, mostly trial, not so much error, we made the fifth gen, which is a new generation Forerunner, links work on the Land Cruiser, which is essentially their drop-in. Tiny little modification, but it's a drop-in link length. They are adjustable, so you can set. So we're that's what we really needed, because the goal for that truck is for it to articulate really well. So all the links, including the Panhard bar, is it's custom fit, not necessarily custom built by us.
Okay,
but it's custom fit from Dobbinson's. The Land Cruiser does come factory with KDSS suspension. All 200 series come with it. So we deleted that. So now KDSS is kind of responsible for your sway bar. So that's no longer there. That all the hydraulics, everything is gone. So we're converting it to a traditional sway bar setup. So in the back, we're going to be, we actually just finished mounting today, a Curry anti-rock bar. So nice. Drilled through the frame, mounted everything. So it's coming together really nice. So as far as the shocks, they're 12-inch King bypasses, a double bypass with piggybacks, King air bumps. Yeah, I mean, custom mounts to make it all work. So we did notch the frame because the shocks themselves are 2.5-inch wide shocks, so they take a lot of room. So, and plus, as the suspension articulates, as it drops down side to side, the shock gets really close to the frame. So we just had to make room. Mm-hmm. So,
How about the tire getting close to the shock?
The tire, so we're running pretty pretty aggressive when it comes to offset wheels. Okay. So, from our testing and playing around with Panhard, just kind of centering the axle and everything, it comes within 0.5-inch, but it clears. So, clearance is clearance. So,
yeah,
so
it is.
We did do something. It kind of reminds me of my old like Honda, racing days, but I did roll fenders in the rear of the 200 series.
Oh, really?
yes, absolutely. So, which is, nobody does that, but we made it work because it was such a precise fitment where it would not clip the shock and at the same time, not come outside the fender well. So we got 37 BF Goodrich in there, and BF Goodrich kind of run small. So in that particular, the KM3s, they're also kind of like a they're not so much square side, but they're kind of bubbly, so it just tucks in perfectly. So
The roundness of the tire actually seems to curve in
right in. Yeah,
sweet.
So it flexes really nice, especially the fact that we get all that KDSS stuff junk removed. So it really boogies. So
nice.
Yeah. And the front cool. Now, so here's the thing. The rear was really more built mostly to match what we did with the front. So the front Land Cruiser, it's a traditional coilover setup, which, there's plenty of suspension companies, including King, that make a drop-in application where you just, drop on a coilover, you get a lift, whatever, So we ended up doing, we installed we got rid of everything that's Land Cruiser, and we installed Tundra, late model Tundra suspension. So, everything on the Tundra is pretty much bolted when it comes to a Land Cruiser. You can just unbolt it and bolt it right into place.
Wow.
Land Cruiser, while gaining 2-inch wider track. So
okay.
So it's kind of like
your UCAs, your LCAs, everything, you just blow pop all that into the Land Cruiser. And
yeah, so if you take off, let's say, just the strictly factory components and bolt it onto a Land Cruiser, you'll have wider 2-inch wider on each side, so 4-inch wide width.
Wow.
Side to side. So now while we're doing the upgrades, we installed we're a vendor for Total Chaos, so we used stock length Total Chaos Tundra lowers and uppers. So
okay,
a lot more travel. The truck's sitting wider, which is exactly what we wanted. The CVs are from RCV, so those need to be extended as well to factory length. We're using Coach Builder. It's a company that makes specifically stuff for a length for Tundra. They make these high angle rod ends for steering, so we got those in. The only that's left is just setting up the limit straps, because it's a lot of travel.
That's awesome.
Traveling a lot, yeah.
So No, it's definitely a burly setup. Now, everything is reinforced, gusseted, total chaos, spindle gussets, total chaos, cam tub gussets. So it's set up pretty beastly. Now, as far as clearance-wise, we did radius defenders about 2 inches, cab mount chop, pretty much it. You know, we're running aftermarket bumper in the front, so that's all the clearance in the front we need. So now again, all the testing that we've done so far has been kind of, you know, in our shop with the forklift and all that. So once we do actually some field testing, we'll see how it does with the actual you know, upper fender well. See what kind of room we have there. But you know,
and it clears the firewall.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's so awesome.
Yeah. Do you not have any issues with the body mount there, that front body mount under the?
No, because because we're running total chaos, it kind of moves the suspension slightly forward a little bit. Gotcha. So we just did a trim. Now, like everything, like on Foreigners and Tacomas, everybody's doing cab mount relocations, which we do plenty of those. But with this setup, we didn't need it. We just did a little trim, just capped it with the plate, and that's it.
Just, that's impressive.
Wow, that's super cool. So what about steering? Is it running the Tundra steering rack as well?
They're very similar. So it has a Land Cruiser rack. So Land Cruiser, its own. And from what I understand, the MAR rack is built around the new 200 series Land Cruiser rack. So it's a big rack. Okay. I mean, it's if you look at it, I mean, it's huge compared to like a Foreigner or Tacoma. It's got a lot of girth. So yeah, I mean, it should hold up. Okay. Nice. What I'm trying to do with the 200 series is that it's an expensive truck in the sense that people that's own them now, like they're still like, you know, that were purchased for $180,000. Those owners are still driving them. So like, you know, when they get modified, they get modified conservatively. So unlike, let's say you pick up like a 80 series or like a, you know, a 100 series where people are really going wild with them. So you know, they're really kind of beginning to push the limit. So I kind of wanted to try this with the 200 series. So just kind of take it next level, see what we can do with it.
Nice.
So,
are you running the stock rear axle?
Yeah, it's a star rear axle. It's a 9.5 inch rear axle, which is huge. No, wait, is it? I think it might be a 10.
Oh, did they go larger?
Yeah,
in those later years.
Yeah, it's really big. So, so we're leaving the factory rear, 9 inch front. It's IFS, but I mean, it's still
that's a beefy IFS though.
Yeah, it is. So, but what I was curious is, if you're 4 inches wider in the front, are you doing any spacers or compensating somehow in the rear for that? Or are you just going to leave it?
Wheels? Yeah, we're running just spacers, just wheel spacers in the rear.
Gotcha. Yeah. So what is going to be like the intended use of this truck? Like, I know that last time we talked, one of your big things that you do for all your customers, you sit down and be like, okay, let's talk about how you're going to use your vehicle and let's build your vehicle for your intended usage here. So are you kind of doing the same concept, or are you doing this more as like a show truck just to see what you can do?
I mean, the intended use is really like, I want to be able to go far with a truck, like go to like the desert. Honestly, like this is something going to be like a family wheeler. Unlike the Moscow Mule, which is like a crawler. It's still a 4-seater, still high AC. It's still, you know, it's still like street legal, quote unquote, but it's extreme. It's like, you know, it's got the Maxis tires. I mean, they're just monsters. So they're like, it'll technically can be driven through a trail and back, but I'm not going to be doing a lot of like driving around, you know.
You're not going to go run the Transamerica Trail in it.
Yeah. No, but with the Land Cruiser, it's more like a modern vehicle. It's got some of the modern aesthetics inside, you know, all the comfort features. So plus, you know, I got two kids. It's nice to kind of get everybody in and go like to Death Valley or whatever, you know, do like camping trip, you know, with all the room. So,
gotcha.
So, and obviously like just, I want to kind of go fast, you know, it'll have all the armor, the bumpers and everything, but, definitely like overbuilt. You know, my goal is to run the Rubicon Trail with it. Like, you know, I just got the gearing lockers, all that stuff is in the truck. So,
nice. You should do that. No problem on 38s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it'll cruise right through. Yeah. You know, the way it'll be sitting. I mean, it literally just be missing a solid axle. Like otherwise, the height would be there, the clearance would be there.
Yeah. What engine is in those in the 200 series?
It's a 5.7 Tundra motor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
A lot of power. That thing is. When I first got the truck, like I was amazed how good it would deliver the power just with 37, no gears, just driving around.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's a beast, like very impressive. So
interesting.
We geared it to 48s. That thing just jumps right under you.
Nice. Have you? Go ahead.
Is there a stock locker in that already, or are you adding stuff?
It comes with the unfortunate 200 series. They don't come with differential lockers. They have a center diff lock, but okay, nothing in your axle. So we put Eaton E lockers front and rear.
Cool.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Have you gotten a chance to do anything with or see anything about the 300 series or the new Tundras?
I mean, I've been watching them very closely. Like, I'm personally really excited about the new Tundra. I think it's a great platform. You know, we've done a couple of posts on our social media just to kind of see what people think. And, you know, surprisingly, there was a lot of negative feedback when it comes to the way it looks. But I personally think it looks great, you know, and it's new, it's fresh. And once it's here and it's going to get modified, I think people will kind of get over it and get used to it. I like the truck personally. I think the Toyota is going the right direction with the power, especially their TRD Pro line. You know, it's got the hybrid power. I mean, it comes with a factory rear locker. Like, you know, I think it's a great setup. Plus, what's nice about the Tundra, which I think was a good move on Toyota's behalf, is that they converted, instead of running Leafs in the back,
that's a coil sprung.
Yeah, a 5-link setup, and it shares the chassis, shares the suspension with the Lancers of 300 series, which unfortunately we won't get here in the US.
Yeah. But we should be getting a bunch of the technologies off of the Landcruiser 300 on the U.S. vehicles, supposedly.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, a lot of that. Well, so just this week, actually, Lexus released, they did a global release on the new LX 600, which is the Lexus variant of the Land Cruiser.
Okay.
So it's just same chassis, same, for the most part, similar body, just the different, you know, fascia and rear taillights and all that. But it's pretty much the same truck. So, and that is coming to US. That's going to be here in early 2022. So if you want a 300 series Land Cruiser in US, you're going to have to buy the Lexus. So
is it going to have all the locking differentials and everything too in that, or?
The US ones that are not getting there is an option in Japan and overseas. They are making a version with the lockers front and rear.
Yeah.
Which is really unusual if you think about it, for a full size SUV modern day with IFS front rear lockers. That's like unheard of. So they are getting that overseas, but the US gets it's just getting an LSD in the back, which is something. It's nice, you know.
It's at least something.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Have you had very much experience with the P2 hybrid setups that Toyota is putting in their vehicles now?
Not as far as like me personally, we haven't had much experience in the shop. So that's going to be a new wave of, everything's going electric. So that's what's nice about electric is that, like, my particular industry, like our industry, is kind of protected that, you know, I don't care if it's powered by air, people are still going to be going off-road. People are going to be putting lockers. People are going to be putting skids, sliders, lights, whatever. Yeah. You know, there's always going to be a market for bolting or something or welding something onto the truck.
So that is true.
Regardless what's the power, it could be powered by peanuts and then we're still going to be, you know, good. So
Dumbo.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, but as far as Toyota specifically, like their hybrid, I'm not, you know, besides just my brother having a Highlander hybrid, that's as much as I experienced with Toyota's technology.
Gotcha. On the Moscow Mule, you have some fun things going on at the rear suspension there.
Yeah.
With the upper links, I believe it's the upper links, are backwards. They're triangulated backwards and your lower links are forwards.
Yeah. So we did a triangulated 4-link setup. Wanted to do something different. You know, we had a lot of questions as far as like your pinning angle and all that.
Because that would be my concern is you're going to get a ton of a wrap on the axle as it as it travels, as the entire axle travels. It won't get as much as it articulates, but
yeah. So if you're launching this thing like going fast, then there is some difference in the pinion angle. Now side to side, it pretty much is nothing. It doesn't general driving like it. Let's say your suspension travels 2 to 3 inches just up and down, just while driving. That really doesn't do much. And the way we have our link set up, it doesn't really change anything. So, I mean, the dynamics when it comes to anti-squat and all that, I mean, we'll just have to see how it does. But you know, as far as the concept itself, I mean, it's been done before. You know, a lot of Jeep guys have been doing it before. It's you see that more and more nowadays. Like, you know, there's a couple builders that are doing a couple high end builds, and they're doing that concept. So okay. we want to give that our version of it a try, and it looks promising. You know, we haven't been like really testing the vehicle just quite yet. It is mm-hmm. done. It's just we haven't really been driving it.
There's gotcha.
The whole thing just needs to be taken apart, rewelded. So.
And I was gonna say, do you need somebody to go out and drive it for you?
It's fully built. It's sitting on its whole floor. I mean, I drove it inside the shop. It just right now we have to take it all apart, weld everything that we couldn't really get to while we're building the thing, mm-hmm. And just paint everything and assemble all back. So
gotcha.
But to answer your question, it was built for articulation side to side.
Yeah.
So kind of like crawler, so that sort of deal. So
gotcha.
But I mean, I'm curious for myself just to see how we'll do like in the desert going fast.
Yeah. Cause that's my main concern is like for articulation, it's great. I mean, it allows you to package those upper links without getting into way of everything in front of the axle. Yeah. That's usually the hard part of the rear suspension on 4Runners and SUVs.
Yeah.
So by packaging those upper links backwards to a reinforced rear bumper, essentially, like what did you have to do for that rear bumper? You essentially tied it all into the frame. So like the rear bumper is kind of the frame as well, right?
Yeah. Well, the 4Runners, they have like this huge, just monstrous cross member in the back of the frame. Mm-hmm. So we cut that out, and that's where we made the links connect. So at the very end of the frame rails, we kind of build this box. It's not quite I suppose it could be a bumper now, but it's just our own version of the cross member, but that ties in all the pivot points for the links. So
gotcha.
They're serviceable. You can get it. You can unbolt them, get to them if you need to. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Have you messed around too much with cantilevered suspensions?
No, I haven't. I don't have any experience with that, but I would like to give that a try. Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen there's so many of them like being built right now. Like I want to give it a shot. I want to see how that's like. And I already have my next project and kind of, you know, brewing in my head. So, and it'll be something with a cantilever setup.
Okay. You don't want to try it, maybe a test run on a second gen 4Runner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's parked outside. It looks great. Mm-hmm. It looks like it performs well, just the way it is.
It's looking good right now. I'm getting ready to redo the axles and suspension, put a 3-link in the front.
Nice.
And so what I want to do for the rear is a 4-linked cantilevered setup.
Okay.
With the shocks outboard.
Nice.
And I'm like, I'm not sure how to do it. Because the gas tank, I would have to get a different gas tank.
Yeah.
And put, essentially I'm looking at the F-150 20, 23 gallon, whatever gas tanks those are.
Yeah.
It'll fit right up between the frame rails. So if I put something up there, then I'll have room for the upper links in front of the axle. But if I do the upper links rear, mm-hmm. like you have on the Moscow Mule, and the lower links forward, I should be able to make that work with a cantilevered system.
Yeah.
But it would just be a matter of doing it and kind of mocking it all up and seeing if it can get done and seeing how long it's going to take to set it all up and do it.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's a lot of cycling involved, a lot of geometry mm-hmm. involved. So mm-hmm. yeah, be ready for a ride, man.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's much more complex setup. There's a lot more connecting. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, rather like than having just a shock mount up there, shock up top, shock mount at the bottom. Now there's multiple, and there's, you know, mm-hmm. You're doubling those connections on each side. So mm-hmm. not including the connection to the frame from the cantilever.
For the cantilever,
so
yeah.
Like three, yeah, that's, yeah, it's definitely a project. So.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. I was just curious. I'm like, man, I'd love to pick your brain sometime about cantilevered systems and different ways to make them happen and make them work. So, cool. What else? So let's get back to the shop a little bit here. So you're going and you're tripling your space. Does that mean you're going to start tripling your intake on customers and everything and what you can do?
Yeah, we already have. So we have, just because we have more space, because not everything requires a lift to work. Like, for example, mm-hmm. like when we do a lot of electrical work, so Switch Pros, lighting, you know, dual battery, fridges, mm-hmm. all this accessories. So that stuff doesn't require like a rack. So mm-hmm. it just needs space. So yeah. For that stuff, we already been and taking the jobs that we can, because we just simply have room for it. So like, we just did a really big Mercedes Sprinter job, which is, we're a Toyota shop. So that's another thing kind of where we're looking forward to, is kind of expanding our horizons on the vehicles that we work on. So we only work on Toyotas. 99% of the vehicles that come in through our shop are all Toyota. So something that's new for I guess remaining this year and new year is that we'll be doing a some Sprinter work. So we're not going to get into like doing cabinetry or anything like that, but everything related to what we do for Toyotas now, which is suspension, armor, lighting, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
It's fair game. So we're taking that on. And that goes the same for vans, for Ford vans as well.
The transit vans.
The transit vans. Yep. That's a hot market.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. We just did a van. It was the, it was a Sprinter. Long one, the longest one, the tallest one. So that thing is absolutely massive. Yeah. It's four-wheel drive, had a bumper with the winch, all the, you know, it's all the good. So super great, like nice platform. It's a great platform for those guys that want to get out back, you know, kind of leave the just general camping spots and, you know, developed camping space and be out the back and get back, you know, but not necessarily like do any crazy off-roading, but just, you know, have enough traction and clearance to get to, you know, just a good spot.
So, yeah. To get as far away from people as possible.
Yeah. While having like a shower and like a, you know, like a fancy kitchen.
So. Yeah. Mobile, essentially a little mobile hotel with you and everything.
Yeah. So Sprinters is one thing. Okay. Bronco, that's another chassis that once people actually begin to get a hold of them, you know, because I've heard it's
a nightmare
story. So what's going on with them? So, but Bronco is a great platform. We're looking forward to. Matter of fact, I was at visiting my friends at Barry and Metal Fab, Jerry, right before this, and they just finished working on their Bronco, and you know, that's just a great platform.
Yeah, I saw that at Overland Expo West.
Yeah, such a cool out truck. There. I mean, he's got 37s. It's so well set up. So, it's going to be like a Ford version of the Jeep. Like everything is modular, you know, customizable. So
yeah.
So definitely be working on those. You know, we do some Subaru work. You guys may know about that already. We've always been working on Subaru. So plenty of that. And we'll see where it goes from there. So still don't work on Jeeps.
Yeah. Are you going to open a Stellar Built number 2 for the Jeep market? Somewhere, sometime.
I've been asked that many times, and it's probably a good concept, but to manage that, and you know, having like a talent that can be there, like, you know, I'm really proud of my guys now. Like, we have a great team, solid crew. You know, everybody does really well and know what they're doing. You know, to replicate that, but in like a Jeep version of, you know, I just know it was challenging to get to where it is now, just finding the right people. So copying, paste that with Jeep, it's just a big challenge. And right now, like, just getting people to work is just difficult in general. So, maybe you're, in the future.
Your job would essentially change. I don't want to say super drastically, but I mean, you wouldn't have any time to like have your hands in the fabrication side of stuff anymore. You'd go to managing two different locations, two different businesses, doing two completely different things. I mean, your whole scope of work would change if you had to, go and do that.
Well, the current shop keeps me busy enough already, but and not that we have more fab work, I'll definitely be spending more time there. But yeah, like dealing with another location, I don't know.
Yeah,
how many employees do you have?
We have currently eight people total, including me. So seven.
Wow.
Yeah, we have two.
How many rigs are you going through a month then? Like, what's your average? I guess customer intake in a month.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it depends. Like, we have for example, we do alignment. So alignment is a job that comes in for like half an hour to an hour. So then we have trucks that take 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So you know, if you could, I guess, average everything out, I want to say maybe four, five, maybe six trucks a day.
Wow.
And that's long and short jobs, you know. So our standard, like a job would be like just doing general lift. So like a lift comes in, we'll have that done the same day, and everything has to do with like the lift, like wheels and tires, clearancing, you know, making all the room for it to work. So
yeah,
that's usually a day turnaround. So something that's new we also changed this year, well, I guess within the last month and a half or so, is that we went to 4-10s versus working from Monday through Friday.
Nice.
And we now work Monday through Thursday. We open at 7 and we close at 6. So, and that's something that's, you know, I didn't just stumble upon. I've been thinking about this for a long time and had numerous conversations with other off-road, specifically off-road shop owners that already do that. And it's, honestly, it's like a trend in the industry. Like everybody's like a lot of people are doing that, and we wanted to give it a try. And you know, I know a lot of people in Southern California that have shops. And, you know, I've kind of wanted to get their take on that. And everybody said nothing but like, this is the best that you can do for your employees.
Quality. Is like, that just because it essentially gives them a 3-day weekend to go out and play on the weekends?
That, yeah, because I mean, it's a, you know, we put in our time, put in our work. Yeah. It's a brutal at times. Like it's, you know, try to get everything done with quality. So just having a nice break, you know, like our, like I always tell my guys every week since we started, like Tuesday is our midweek on Tuesday, you
yeah
know, like and Wednesday is our Thursday. So like it's nice to you start, you there, the days are longer, you're putting your time, but we're done fast.
Yeah,
you know? And honestly, what I notice is like efficiency has been good because we're able to knock out stuff like the same day, like in multiple.
You know, gotcha.
Versus like, you know, like laying for the spending for next day, like start, you know, putting it away, starting over again. So
sure.
Another thing to consider with 4-10s is that's one less day that you're spending time driving to work and coming from work. So like that's one. That, so on the back end for the, you know, for people, for us, like that work, that actually go to work, like you're spending less time in a day doing that. So
yeah,
you only consume four times versus five. So that's another, let's say an hour, 2 hours you gain. So, so it's been good, man. It's a good balance. So
nice. That's really cool. That was one thing that I really wanted to do with Morflate is I'm kind of setting up everything to work on a 4-10 schedule as well. And then I've even kind of taken one step further and I'm going to be paying employees 8 hours a month to go wheeling and just get out there and get away and kind of reset and recharge kind of thing. So I think it's a great move. Anybody who's in the off-roading industry, outdoor recreation space in general, your employees want to go play just as much as you do.
Absolutely.
So
yeah. I knew a company that they paid their employees to leave their cell phones at home.
Oh, really?
For like a weekend. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like literally disconnect. Like, I want you to go out this weekend.
Oh, not while they're working, but no. Go out.
Okay, yeah, over the weekend.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. Like we will pay you to leave your cell phone at home. Disconnect and get out there and live your life. And they would pay them like, we'll give you a few $100 or whatever to just leave, to make sure to leave that at home.
That's cool.
Yeah. What's nice is like everybody that works at the shop at Stellar Built, everybody's about it. Like everybody's got a rig. You know, we wheel together, we camp together, you know, it's, you know, we do like a company trips, we try to do it like a couple times a year. So, you know, we're very much about it. You know, it's not just like, okay, you know, I go to work, I clock in, clock out and go home. You know, everybody, when they get a chance to go off-roading, I matter of fact, they go so much, like I don't go as much as they do, like, you know, especially this year in particular, but you know, so it's definitely a good balanced lifestyle.
Oh. Yeah, that's really cool, man. So you're obviously going to be increasing how many vehicles you're doing. You're going to be adding some more platforms into the mix with the Mercedes Sprinters. Was that just kind of a decision that you were like, hey, let's start doing this? Or have you had a lot of the van life people coming to you and being like, hey, can you work on this as well? Or
yeah, well, I mean,
has that been an organic thing, I guess, or
it's been organic. So here's the thing: like we probably turn down as much business as we take in. People call us for although they know us in the Toyota community, like on the regular, people call us with their 4x4s, what, regardless what it is, you know, their Chevys, their Dodges, their Fords, you know, their Jeeps, whatever. Like, and we turn them down because we specialize in niche, but we get a plenty, like a fair share of like van life people. And that's a niche that's, I feel like hasn't been really explored much, especially here in Northern California. Like it's growing like across US, and there's like Southern California has like the van only dedicated shops, you know, there's some places around the country, but you know, there's not like a like an off-road place to take your van. Like you can't, there's not really a lot of places where you can do that, you know. Just as same goes for Subarus. Like that's the reason why we do Subaru work, is just because, you know, you go to a shop like, hey, can you lift my Subaru? Like they don't know what you're talking about. How can you even do that? So, which is, and we know how, you know, there's plenty of vendors, plenty of companies that would explore that. So we offer that service, and van is just kind of the next frontier. So,
Nissan Frontier.
Yeah. I do like the Nissan Frontier, that new one is coming out.
Really?
I do think it's pretty cool.
I think we need to end the episode now. It's done.
Well, it's over. Talking to Dimitri, you're out of here, but.
It's just funny how like right now, I mean, it's just a racing game. Everybody's trying to do better and better, and then, you know, Nissan, they're coming out swinging at the Tacoma, so you know, we'll see what the Tacoma brings with the new generation, but you know, Nissan's definitely, you know, on the right track. So
Did you guys have you like kept track of people calling and like written little tallies down to figure out who's calling for what product more often, and that's why you chose Sprinters as the possible new platform that you're going to be taking? Or is it sort of this gut feeling from inside of Dimitri, like this is going to be a big market and this is the way we need to go?
It's a little bit of both. We do see like an influx of people calling. I mean, again, this is nowhere near as much as our general request when it comes to Toyota. It's like this is not even close. But but it's a niche. It's a target audience that's not really explored. You know, and if you become known in the field for doing that particular job, like okay, then more and more people will come to you. So like right now, like if you have a van, like where are you gonna go? Like four wheel parts? I don't think they might they even know like with all respect for four wheel parts. I'm not bashing them, but we know that it's most of all the local guys here in Sacramento, great shop. They're like almost neighbors with us. So, but it's a kind of chassis. It's a kind of platform that's requires its very like a specialty knowledge and what kind of offerings. What can you get for it? You know what works with what? Because you know there's so many different Sprinter models, and they have a variety of different suspensions. There's different generations, and unless you kind of know what works, like it's not something you can just kind of, you know, stumble upon. Like you have to know like brands and companies, and it's just like a Subaru, you know. So so yeah, I mean, it's just another niche that we want to kind of try out.
So are you have you done a lot of studying and trying to figure out all these different styles, or are you kind of just learning as you go and experiencing the Sprinter vans, you know, and learning which one works better with which application?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, before we make this decision, I do quite a bit of research. And so here's the thing, we've done a bunch of vans. We just don't advertise it. We've done a bunch of like Fords, we've done like a few Sprinters here and there. But we don't really advertise, and we especially before, because we didn't have any space. Like now all of a sudden all these Sprinter guys are calling me like, I can't even take you in because we're so busy with Toyota work. But, so I'm somewhat familiar with what you can do with them, but it's like anything, you know, as you work more and more, you perfect your craft and you kind of, you know, get more familiarized and what works with what, you know. Here's the thing. There's kits that are not a kit, but there's companies that make Dana 60 solid axle conversions for Sprinters.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's cool.
I'm serious. There's vans out there with a Dana 60, like a solid axle converted vans. Like,
okay.
So there are options out there.
That's crazy.
They're definitely pushing that, you know, that whole market.
The market for
how much of the firewall do you have to tub for 40s then?
I don't know. This one was pretty. It wasn't. Yeah, the one I've seen, it was in the. You honestly, you couldn't even tell there was a solid axle because it was so like tucked in and. Yeah. But that would be cool. They're already like, that's the thing with sprinters. They're so tall. Like sometimes it's like you look at it, it kind of makes you wonder how like that thing is able to not tip over. You know,
right? Don't put a rooftop tent up top; it might fall over.
Yeah. Well, we did a the van we just finished recently. It was like I said, it was the longest and the tallest. So, you know, and on top of that, this guy had a previously installed a roof rack on it, so, which we did a bunch of like electrical and wiring on, but. Like that roof rack is so tall, like you literally need like a construction ladder to get up there. Like it's it's that we use like a warehouse, like a ladder dolly thingy, like just to get
up. Guys don't just launch each other up using the forklift.
Go. Yeah, we did use a forklift to move that rack. We had to use a forklift like and then like high setting just so we can move the rack out of the way to run all the wiring loom, but
then that sprinter van could pull into your shop because I know you have ramps that go up and then it gets, you know, goes flat. No, it didn't bottom out.
No. It drives in just fine. I mean, it's got a, it seems just from looking at it, it looks a little intense, but we've had some lowered cars
No problem.
That
particular pump, you know, if that thing can make it in, anything can make it in.
Oh, for sure.
So the big question for us is, Cruise Moab next year is going to be supposedly the 50th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Are you having plans to be out there?
When is it? What are they?
2 weeks after Easter Jeep Safari. So 2 weeks after, 3 weeks after Easter, I think, is typically when they do it.
April, May.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's late April this year.
I'd have to look up when Easter is in 2022, but Easter Jeep Safari, I believe, is a week after Easter, and then Cruise Moab is 2 weeks after Easter Jeep Safari.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we'll have both of the trucks ready, so we might we'll see. I mean, we may even take both. I'd like to go. I mean, especially now that the shop is kind of settled and you know we moved, like all the big changes are done, like we're kind of coasting. Like, yeah, that'll be nice. I see you guys are going.
Yeah, our plans are to be there. Apparently, we made such a good splash on them this year in 2021. They asked if we were going to be back out, and I was like, see, it was a good thing I rolled over in Hell's Gate.
They asked if we were interested in running some of the harder trails because they would open them up for if we were interested in hitting them.
Yeah.
And we're like, yes, let's do it. I want to do Pritchett Canyon. And they're like, okay, we'll put that one on the list.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, well, we'll talk some more with Coastal Towards. I mean, we'll like to join.
Cool. Sure. How close have you worked very closely with a bunch of the other Toyota shops in NorCal, like Valley Cruisers or
I work well, we don't work directly, but I mean like George, he's a great guy. We send him a lot of business, specific when it comes to like engine work, general maintenance, and stuff that we don't really have time for.
Valley Hybrids.
Yeah, George is a great dude. He's got a great taste in vehicles. He's got some of the coolest like JDM cruisers.
Yeah, he does
in California. So we definitely work in that sense, you know. Plus, I mean, he's specialized in doing like the long range stuff, like the when it comes to fuel tanks and all that. He does some of the automatic transmission lockouts and stuff when it comes to like valve bodies and all that, like deep kind of mechanicals, like stuff that we don't really have time or really energy for. So
yeah, I mean, I've called him before and asking about different stuff to do mainly with like axles and suspension. He kind of after a while, he's like, I don't know if you know who you, like, he goes, we do with like engines on Land Cruisers only. And I'm asking him like about you know, mini truck axles and stuff like that. So he was nice enough to answer my questions, but he eventually got to the point where he was like, that's just, you know, go it's talk
not,
to these guys.
It's not their realm.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They'll definitely service your, your, you know, you have a truck with a, whatever the, you know, solid axle, like Lakers or stuff. They do plenty of that, but, I'm not sure if they really do a lot of custom fab or kind of that sort of, I mean, they'll fab stuff to make an engine work, but they don't really get into like suspension fabrication.
Nice.
Cruise Moab, April 20th through 24th.
There we go.
Nice.
So April 20th, 24 next year. What about any other events? I know that, you are, because you are so involved with the fabrication, the work in the business. Do you get very much opportunity to go out to events like Overland Expo West or any off-road events in general?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was at the King of Hammers this year. Mm-hmm. Like, got to test out the new Bronco.
Okay,
like, love that thing. So, yeah, I mean, I try to. This year is just anything outside of that has been kind of not as much because COVID is weird. Like, that's kind of keeping people away. I did want to go to the Overland Expo, but it was happening the weekend that we were moving, so I didn't get a chance to go, but. But I know absolutely I'm all about it. Like I said, once we get comfortable in new space, you know, I'll mm-hmm. definitely participate more and more. Like, that's another thing. Like, we typically go to SEMA every year. Like, this year is kind mm-hmm. of like a wash. So we didn't go, but otherwise, yeah, I mean, we'll try to keep up and, you know, just network. And I mean, those events are nice because you get to see a lot of industry people and kind mm-hmm. of, especially like, meet people that you talk like on the phone on the regular with, mm-hmm. like, hey, we're here. I'm Dimitri, you know, so I'm so and so, you know. So
I've seen you out at a few Tacoma Powered events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, those guys are great. Yeah, we try to support like some of the local groups. There's a few mm-hmm. like clubs, cliques, crews, whatever, you know. We don't necessarily associate with anybody in particular, mm-hmm. but we support everybody, you know. Yeah. If they're doing any sort of meet giveaway or whatever, like we'll gladly, you know, support your movement, because it's all for the good cause. It's just like we're having fun, you know, just kind of getting out there, so mm-hmm. you know, we'd like to back that.
Yeah, for sure. It's encouraging to help encourage people to get out and enjoy the wilderness and enjoy the outdoors and outdoor recreation. So
yeah,
with these vehicles. Well, awesome, man. Anything else? How can people get in contact with you? Like, if they wanted to come by and see the shop, could they do that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're more than welcome to come by. So we do have like a bigger showroom now. So
nice.
We're outfitting with all the goods that we offer. You're more than welcome to come by the shop. We'd love to give you a tour, show you around, see what we're up mm-hmm. to. You know, you can kind of get feel for yourself, like, okay, this is what they do, this is what they specialize mm-hmm. in. So, but as far as like a just general consultation, that's what we do. That's our job. Mm-hmm. We're appointment only when it comes to like getting service work done. So if you want to get like stuff done right now, like today, like it's probably unlikely just because we're booked out for several weeks out. But as far as like visiting the shop, talking mm-hmm. to somebody face to face, you know, throwing all your questions on what you think of that, you know, showing your truck, what you have set up, you know, mm-hmm. we're here for you, man. So like, if you're, when it comes to wild to mild, you know, we'll work with you.
How big is your parking area?
So we have one of the warehouses we have is kind of like a storage parking area, but we don't have like a huge parking lot, like that you would see outside, at a typical business, because mm-hmm. our warehouse kind of butts up into the street. So,
gotcha.
But what's nice that our new location, it's a really small like M1 industrial zone, like in Sacramento. So it's like a small pocket of it. So, mm-hmm. And it's kind of surrounded by residential. So our street, it's pretty much just us. There's nobody else. So we pretty much occupy the entire street. So, you know, there's nobody drives on there besides us. And, you know, it's kind of cool. It's a really cool like corner of like Sacramento. So,
Yeah. I was thinking we could get together and do like a NorCal snail trail meetup there.
Yeah, no, sometime. Absolutely. So the one thing that we're planning on doing once we get comfortable is we're going to be doing like the theme is going to be like a Stellar Built open house block party. So block party, because we're literally like taking pretty much the entire block. So,
yeah.
And there's plenty of like street parking, something that won't be infringing, you know, other people. Like, there's just mm-hmm. open space and just, there's nothing in front of it. So there's a lot of space around us. So we'll do like a barbecue and like cook out, maybe have some, you know, vendors, you guys come out. So I'm thinking hopefully early next year, we'll definitely be doing that. So
sweet.
Nice. Let us know. We'll be there.
Yeah.
We'll advertise for you.
All right.
So anyways, I brought something for you guys. I know you guys do a lot of giveaways and, you know, just kind of paying respect to your listeners and all that. So this is something unique from Factor 55. We're a vendor for these guys. And this is, it's a very limited pro link. So Factor 55, as you guys know, they specialize mm-hmm. in recovery gear. So they used to make this color, which is called OD green, which is essentially like a military green color.
Yeah.
And we happen to have the very last batch of these ever made.
Really?
This color. So Factor 55, they have a military contract that they do a lot of work for. So this is like their proprietary color that they tried a little bit like for consumer line, mm-hmm. So which is these green recovery hooks. So they no longer do that. So they don't.
Oh, interesting.
So if you're on their website, you'll see red, blue. You know, they have like a lime green, but the good old classic military green, they no longer offer. And we bought their last supply, so we figure the ones that we have left over, we'll give it to you guys, and you guys can, you know, do whatever you want to do with it. So
you can put it on Kermit. It'll look great on Kermit's green.
Hey.
No, this thing is great. We like these. This is the Pro Link. And like I said, it's the OD green.
Nice.
So
cool.
That's I like that green.
Yeah, no, it's a very cool. It's mm-hmm. And it's nice because regardless what color truck you have, it just looks great.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, it's nice. They have their cross pin in there is all snap ringed in and everything. Mm-hmm. That's a nice design of theirs.
Yeah, it's a cool essentially color. Like the ProLink is their thimble style mm-hmm. Link for creating a closed system on your winch. So yeah, these are awesome. So we'll have to give it away maybe for November's giveaway.
Yeah.
We're coming up here soon. We got about another week or so before November. So yeah.
Yeah, we have maybe like a half a dozen of these left, and I figure like this would be a good chance for kind of
nice.
It's like I said, it's limited. If you want to buy one from them, there's no you more.
There's no they more.
You can't do it. Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Thanks, Dimitri.
Yeah, thanks, man. And the listeners will thank you as well. We'll see if we can drum up some interest in that guy. I know there will be. So
maybe we should have you sign it too.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It's not that special.
What, the signature or the thimble?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, awesome, man. Thanks for coming by. Is there anything else you wanted to let everybody know about, make people aware of that's going on with Stellar Built?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I would love for you guys to follow, you're listening to follow us on our social media. Mm-hmm. We keep a pretty active, like a daily feed of what we do. So besides our just general posts online of, you know, trucks that are coming through the shop, our stories are pretty active. So you kind of with our stories, you'll get the kind of more behind the scene of actual welding and just whatever, all the knickknacks that's going through the shop and all the sometimes the fooling around that some of my guys do. So but yeah, no, if you can follow us on Stellar Built on Instagram, Facebook, you know, if you want to reach out to us direct, you can look us up. Or just, you know, we're in Sacramento here, pretty much in downtown. Yeah. Our email is sales@stellarbuild.com. So yeah,
I will say you have probably one of the most active Instagram accounts. I mean, and not just from off-road shops, like you guys are super active on there. You're always posting about, like you said, some of the shenanigans that goes on in the background, the builds you guys are working on, you know, what vehicle got set up, how they got set up, and kind of the before and after shots of them. It's really neat to see not just what you guys are doing, but the comparison shots, like those befores and afters mm-hmm. of showing, hey, this is how it came in. Here's how it's leaving. Mm-hmm. This is what we did to it. So that people can actually see, you know, if I'm looking at a Dobinson's lift of this style on my Tacoma, this is what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
It's really neat to check that out. So
are you the one that runs the Instagram account, or do you have other people?
Yeah. So mm-hmm. everything that's related to social media, that's me. So it's the phone that I carry in my pocket. It's the one that reflects what you see in the shop. So gotcha. I'm the guy that's behind the camera. So I'm the guy that's taking all the pictures. So that's,
you're the guy that's answering all the DMs.
No. Well, I will answer them, but usually I can't keep up with like all the sales increase and just general tech. So I kind of forward them to our front of the house and have the guys, you know, go more in details. But I mean, if you get if you DM us, you know, you will get a response. I mean, maybe not instantly, but you know, I try to keep up on that. So anything related to sales, I do encourage you people to call, or it's just, you'll get more detailed answer on and more time spent. So,
yeah.
A couple of things I want to leave you guys with is some of the builds that we have coming up. Really excited. Okay. We're going to have Brandon from Trail 4R coming in the shop at the end of this month. So he's got a new Tacoma and he's got the goods. He's got all the stuff from JD Fabrication, which is not necessarily a new name in the off-road world, but it's a newish name when it comes to, you know, Tacoma stuff. So, we're excited to put, a lot of their components on this truck, so it's going to be definitely next level. So it's like a big, just a big like overhaul of the complete front end. So so that's that. We have our own shop Tacoma that's we recently acquired, so it's going to be a really unique build because we're it's a double cab Tacoma, which everybody has, but we're making it we're making it special. So first things first,
triple cab.
We're gonna be we're scrapping the bed on that thing, and we'll be we're putting in a Aussie style flat bed. And that's another thing that's kind of we're bringing to Northern California is we became official vendor for Mitz Alloy, which is a flatbed builder out of Australia, and
okay.
They're expanding to United States. So we'll be distributing their partner here. I guess his distributor here Northern California. So everything, they specialize in flatbeds, like Australia, Aussie style. So isn't like the Bradford build flatbeds you'd see like on ranch truck. This is like a specifically for overland use. They're aluminum, they're light. They have, you know, all these pockets and drawers, and you can accessorize them however you want. It's kind of like a camper, but like a next level. So you can, there's so much stuff you can build. So we'll be putting those in the back of our truck. And that will be kind of our little service truck drive around. So we got that, we got Brandon's truck, and then we also have another 80 series. I'm back. I'm doing full circle here now. So,
yeah, right.
So back, we're doing that. We have an 80 series with an LS swap that's kind of been waiting its turn, so we're gonna get down on that. So
what all is getting into that? Just the LS, or
so that it has an LS swap, and they had like a 2.5 inch OEE, like a old school, like a 2.5 inch lift. So we're gonna be putting some fun accessories on it, you know, bumpers, sliders, and all that stuff. So it's completely stock. It looks, especially in that right now, it looks like we put back on its original wheel. So it's a complete sleeper. Like it looks almost stock, like, so, but it's got an LS. So
nice.
They'll be a fun build.
Nice, man. Well, that's fantastic. I'm really excited and looking forward to see all the stuff that you guys can come up with now with the extra space, the extra production area, what other cool ideas you can come out with out of that kooky brain you got there.
And all those new tools.
And all the new tools, yeah. It should be fun. I'm really looking forward to see what happens with Stellabilt over the next 3, 5, 10 years here. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate your support.
Yeah, I'm excited, and I'm glad you're our neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're close. You guys are always welcome. Come by, pop in anytime. Yeah.
Nice. Cool, man. So if anybody want to get in contact with you, you already said social media. Is there a 1-800 number people can call to talk about their builds?
Our shop line, 916-882-0333. Just our shop line. The thing is always ringing, so, you know, be patient with us. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't always come through, but give us a ring. We'll love to spend time with you, talk to you, answer all your questions. That's one thing that we take a lot of pride in, is educating, and, you know, there's no such thing as dumb question. Like, we try to be as thorough, as just easy as communicable as possible when it comes to building out your truck.
Gotcha. What about email? If people wanted to email
sales@stellarbuilt.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Nice and easy and simple. Cool, man. Jimmy, my favorite part of the show. Do you have any final words for everybody out there?
Yeah. If you want to hear more of Dimitri's story and how Stellarbuilt came around, go check out episode 130.
Was it 130 last time you were on?
This is going to be 240.
This is 240, 110 later. Jesus.
We got to do this more often.
I agree.
Dimitri, do you have any final words for everybody out there?
I just really appreciate like all the support from our customers over the years. I mean, we've had a pretty big growth, especially the last couple of years. And, you know, just want to say big thanks to everybody that listens to you guys and it comes to the shop, you know, big thanks to all of our vendors. So thank you.
Awesome. And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
What would the Terminator be called after his retirement?
The Retirinator?
The Exterminator.
The Exterminator. Gotcha.